हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिः 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 ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। जय सो श्री चैतन्य चरितमृत मध्य लीला Chapter 8 talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. Okay, verse 2861 on page 34. Okay. This is also external, right? Because the first one he said is perform your occupational duties, you know, according to Varnashram, to please the Lord. And then Lord Chaitanya mentioned that this is external. And then he said, give the results of your activities to Krishna and that. And he also mentioned that this is external. This is the second point time he's making it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, please proceed and speak further on this matter. Right? So he's just saying it's external. He's not rejecting it because these are the processes that you use, depending upon your position, to attain to the ultimate goal or pure unalloyed devotional service. Because that was the question, not how do you practice devotional service? He says, what's the ultimate goal, right? Ramananda Rai replied, to give up one's occupational duties in the Varnashram system is the essence of perfection. Uddhariti, Sri Ramananda Samvad. Ramananda's suggestion of this shloka from the Bhagavad Gita, about offering everything to Krishna, definitely advances the conception of the personality of Godhead. But still, the practice of this conception is not fully transcendental. The grossly materialistic people cannot understand how it's possible to give away the results of one's work. It is impossible for grossly materialist people to start with their earnings, to part with their earnings that are made by their personal effort. Such gross materialists can simply get information from the suggestion that they have to give away the result of their personal labor to the personality of Godhead. But because they do not have a clear idea of the personality of Godhead or the process of giving the result of their earnings to the personality of Godhead, it is very difficult then to practice this conception. When Lord Chaitanya rejected Ramananda Rai's second suggestion of directly offering the fruits of one's actions to God rather than indirectly through the Varnashram system, Ramananda then made a third suggestion. He proposed that ordinary people who are fully engaged in the act of earning and enjoying improve their life by giving up the process of continuing to live in the material world while offering the fruits of their labor to God. On the basis of this improved idea, Ramananda quoted a shloka from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.32. Udriti, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 28. Offering everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as enjoined by the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is better than impersonally making the Supreme Lord subject to our work. Right? Because how is that impersonally making? Because we're seeing the person, right? Because the whole idea, but you're dealing with the impersonal aspect in that your work and all that is all part of his transformed energies and all that. And all these energies are for his satisfaction. So therefore you'll deal with all these in connection with the Supreme Lord. And so then in that way, you know, it's connected to him, but it's going through the, his energies in that way. Not like the parampara going up through the acharyas and that, but It's that you're saying, okay, I like driving my car because of the whatever is the quality of the car that I appreciate, with that quality is Krishna. And so then from that, then we're appreciating and then trying to connect it to Krishna, which we know from the Gita and other places is a recommended process. So if one is doing that, that's a good thing. But we have to understand that that's not the goal, right? The goals are trying to get to pure unalloyed devotional service, right? So then he's gone from the impersonally just seeing that too, I got that, and now I give it to Krishna. And then he's coming to the point, okay, if not, then giving up those duties like that, you know, and being absorbed in the Lord, okay? But it is, offering everything the Supreme Personality of Godhead is enjoined by the Bhagavad Gita Srimad Bhagavatam is better than impersonally making the Supreme Lord subject to our work. But it is still short of surrendering to the Supreme Lord, right? Because so that'll be the next stage, that Sarvadharmam Parityaja. A worker's identification with material existence cannot be changed without proper guidance. Such fruit of activity will continue one's material existence. A worker is simply instructed here to offer the results of his work to the Supreme Lord, but there's no information given to enable one to get out of the material entanglement. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya rejected this proposal, right? So all these are situating yourself very, very nicely, and each one's getting better and better at how we are situated. But still, it's not showing how to actually approach the Supreme Lord. Right, so it's just you're following processes that make your connection to the Lord from the position you're in through that position, but it's not showing the reawakening of the eternal relationship that we have with the Lord based on our natural position. So yeah, Srila Prabhupada, a Brahmana may renounce his family and accept sannyas. Other Kshatriyas and Vaishyas may also give up their families and take to Krishna consciousness. Such renunciation is called karma tyag. By such renunciation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied, right? Because anything that your translation is going to be satisfied, but you push until you get to the ultimate. In contrast, the process of renouncing the results of one's activities by offering the results to Krishna is not considered uncontaminated, because although such a process that one raises Krishna as the Supreme, it still involves one's activities on material platform. Since such activities are within the material universe, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered them external, right? Because the material world is external. To correct this, Ramananda Rai recommended that one take to the renounced order of life in order to transcend material activities. This is supported by the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11:11:32, 2:8:62-64. Ramananda Rai continued, occupational duties are described in the religious scriptures. One analyzes them, he can fully understand their qualities and faults, and then give them up completely to render service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a person is considered a first-class man. As stated in scripture, Bhagavad Gita 18:66, quote, after giving up all kinds of religious and occupational duties, if you come to me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and take shelter, I will give you protection from all life's sinful reactions. Do not worry. After hearing Ramananda Rai speak in this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again rejected this statement and said, go ahead and say something more. Ramananda Rai then replied, devotional service mixed with inferior philosophy is the essence of perfection. Right? So he's saying, he didn't say it's external. He just said, go ahead and say something more. He's trying to get him to move, to go farther in the discussion. Udriti. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya from chapter 28. Lord Chaitanya also rejected this third proposal, Sarva Dharmam Parityaja, from Ramananda Rai. For he wanted to demonstrate the renunciation in itself is not sufficient, right? Because that's what people see. It's just surrendering everything, giving up everything. There must be positive engagement. Without positive engagement, the highest perfectional stage cannot be obtained. Generally, there are two kinds of philosophers in the renounced order of life. The goal of one is nirvana, and the goal of the other is the impersonal Brahman effulgence. Philosophers cannot imagine that they can reach beyond nirvana and the Brahman effulgence in the Vaikuntha to the Vaikuntha planets of the spiritual sky, because in simple renunciation, there's no concept of spiritual planets and spiritual activities. Lord Chaitanya rejected this third proposal, right? So we can understand this as we're going, if we have the concept of pure devotion, then all these stages he's mentioned are natural stages we'll go through in our progression in spiritual life. But if that's all the farther you're taking it, then it's not far enough, because he's saying like this, just surrender and he'll give up everything and just surrender and he'll protect you from all sin. Okay, but where's the positive? Right? Udriti, Sri Ramananda Samvad. Ramananda suggested that we give up practicing the rules of Varnashram and take sannyas. Acceptance of sannyas means to renounce material life. And in doing so, one has to engage fully in devotional service of Godhead. In support of this idea, Ramananda quoted the above shloka from the Srimad Bhagavatam. He also supported his suggestion with another shloka from the Bhagavad Gita, 1866. An improved consciousness for the materialist is a desire to either retire from material activities or stay at a place that is undisturbed by the uproar of the modes of nature. Viraja is situated between the material world and the spiritual world. It is outside the boundary of both the material and spiritual world. However, renunciation without any positive engagement is imperfect and cannot give the candidate the desired result of love of Godhead. The aim of Lord Chaitanya is to bring people to the spiritual world. Therefore, the suggestion of Ramananda, which does not take one within the boundary of Vaikuntha, was also rejected by the Lord, right? Because he said that, and that's where he's ending. He's not taking it forward. He's just stopping at that point. Negating the material activities or becoming disinterested in material activities does not suggest accepting positive spiritual activities. Spiritual activities completely depend on spiritual understanding. People having no realization of the spiritual world cannot sustain themselves by giving up all other activities. One must have a positive transcendental engagement. Otherwise, simply negating the material activities of religiosity will not help one the slightest bit in spiritual realization. Right? Ramananda, having realized the desire of Lord Chaitanya, then suggested an improved process called calculated devotion, jnana misra bhakti, driven by a false sense of oneness with the absolute truth. The empiric philosopher tries to make an analytical study of the cosmic situation to find out the absolute truth. When he has done so, he becomes cheerful on account of his self-realization. Right? So this also is, you see, is the jigyasu. He's trying to understand and all that. But, you know, he said here, this is jnana misra bhakti, but that's not that's the jigyasu. The jnani is then seeing the person and being grateful to the person, meaning Krishna. Then he wants to serve him and reciprocate that. Does that make sense? That's beyond that point. So a lot of times it's taking the jnani means, oh, he's smart and he's educated. He's not like all these others who are just interested in money and emotional difficulties to get rid of all that. No, he's this smart guy who's trying to figure out who he is and, you know, has an interest in spiritual life. But that's the jigyasu. That's what he's talking about here. Right. Srila Prabhupada. Devotional service mixed with non-Vedic speculative knowledge is certainly not pure devotional service. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, in his Anubhasya, preaches that self-realization following the execution of ritualistic ceremonies is in the neutral stage between liberation and conditioned life. It is a place beyond this material world, in the river Viraja, where the three modes of material nature are subdued or neutralized in the unmanifest state. Right? So that's where people get to, and they'll think they're liberated, but they're not actually. It's just that the modes are subdued because that's giving them problem. However, the spiritual world is a manifestation of spiritual energy and is known as Vaikuntha Loka, the place where there is no anxiety. The material world, known as Brahmananda, is the creation of the external energy between the two categories. The material creation and the spiritual creation is a river known as Viraja, as well as a place known as Brahmaloka. Viraja Nadi and Brahmaloka are shelters for living entities disgusted with material life and inclined to impersonal existence by way of denying material variegatedness. Since these places are not situated in the Vaikuntha Lokas or the spiritual world, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proclaims them to be external, because it's outside the spiritual world. In the Brahmaloka and Viraja Nadi, one cannot conceive of the Vaikuntha Lokas. Brahmaloka and Viraja Nadi are also obtained after difficult austerities. But in these realms, there is no understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His transcendental loving service. Without such spiritual knowledge, simply detachment from material conditions is but another side of material existence. From the spiritual point of view, it is all external. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected this proposal, Ramananda Roy suggested that devotional service based on philosophy and logic is a more advanced position. He therefore quoted the following verse from the Bhagavad Gita, 1854. Ramananda Roy continued, according to the Bhagavad Gita, quote, one who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have everything, anything. He is equally disposed towards every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Srila Prabhupada. In this verse from Bhagavad Gita, it is said that a person who accepts the theory of monism, being always engaged in inferior philosophical discussions about spiritual life, becomes joyful and is relieved from all material lamentation and hankering. At that stage, one is equipoised. He sees all living entities as spiritual beings. After attaining this elevated stage, one can attain pure devotional service. The conclusion is that devotional service mixed with ritualistic fruitive activity is inferior to spiritual service based on inferior philosophical discussion. Remember in the Bhagavat Sandarbha, then that point is being made that Bhagavan is higher than Brahman, because in advancing in devotional service, one goes through this stage of Brahman realization, where he sees you know, everything is the Lord and everyone connected to the Lord. And from there, he goes further until he starts to develop that personal relationship with the Lord. So this spiritual realization, in other words, it's just a platform of spiritual realization. You're situated on the spiritual platform. And then from there, you move into the positive, where you start to then do things in connection with the Supreme. So this Brahman element is just the neutral stage, that you're not in the material platform, but haven't established yourself within your eternal relationship with the Lord yet. So it's a natural stepping stone that the devotees go through. And so you can see that it's naturally the Bhagavan realization is higher, because that's what you're trying to attain to. You're not trying to stay at this point. So we see the devotees would go through these, but what's being mentioned is that he said, what's the ultimate goal? So each one of these as an ultimate goal is imperfect. It's still external. As part of the process of attaining to the ultimate goal, then they're the natural stages you go through. But you have to know, just because you've advanced, that doesn't mean it's at the end. You always have to be aware that pure devotion is what you're trying to obtain in a relationship with Krishna. So that then is considered real liberation. That's what you're trying to get to. So one should never just think that I'm absorbed myself in the service and I'm technically doing the service and, you know, according to my nature, and that's enough. No, what about, you know, that prayers to Krishna and surrender to Krishna as a person? Then, okay, then the results are all for Krishna. you know, or I give up these and it's the sannyas, or I give up, you know, all the, you know, I see everything equipoised and all these things, but these are still external. So that's the fun point. Devotees will reject varnashram, you know, because of this discussion that it's external, but at the same time, they talk about being nice to everybody. But that's just part of the when you understand the spiritual platform, the Pramana realization. And that's also external. So it's also been rejected as the ultimate goal, right? So it's part of the process that you use, but it's not the ultimate goal.
Guru Maharaj?
Yes.
Brahman realization is the same like Brahma Bhuta stage, or it's...
Yes, for the devotees, it's Brahma Bhuta. See, is the for the impersonalists, that's as far as they go. That's where it ends. But for the devotees, it's just like, let's say... we're going on the bus from Mayapur here to Calcutta. And so then, you know, so many people are not on the bus. Right? So those who get on the bus, then they're better situated. Right? But now in doing that, you're going to go from here, you're going to go up through Bamanpukur. You're going to get up into where the crossroads onto the highway. Now you get on the highway. Now you can say, okay, now this is getting serious, you know, because now it's on the main road that's there. Then you're going to go through Krishnagar. You're going to go through Ranagat, Shantipur, like this. And so if at any one of those stages, if we say, okay, what's the ultimate goal? And I say, okay, getting on the bus. You know, that like that. And so, yeah, okay, but that's a bit external. It's just the bus. So, okay, getting to Bamanpukur, right? And or getting to Krishnagar, getting to Ranagat. So they're not ultimate goals. You know, in this case, we're trying to get to Calcutta. So for the devotee, they go through these stages, but for them, they're just processes to go through. They're not ultimate goal. You know, it's just like, let's say the kitchen assistant, his ultimate goal is to get, you know, all the kitchen ready. So the pots and pans are done, the counter's cleaned, you know, he's washed all the potatoes, he's peeled them, he's cut them up, he's thrown the peels away, and all the potatoes are in a nice little bowl, you know, ready for cooking. And so he's done. But is that the ultimate goal? No. So it's outside the actual cooking. So that's what we're saying. All this is outside. So for devotees, these things will be used, but these aren't goals. That's why being on that stage, then you should think, okay, this is at this stage in getting to, you know, going back to Godhead. But if you think I'm on this stage and so I'm spiritual, I'm advanced, then the point's been missed. It's nice that you're there. It's a good place to be. But you can't call that the ultimate goal and just stop. That has to be appreciated. Does that make sense?
Yes, Guru Maharaj. And I want to ask also, once you said that for devotees, Brahma Bhuta level is for Uttamadhikari, means from Bhava or Prema level. And if for impersonalist, it's a Brahman realization. Does it mean that devotee on the level of bhava and devotee and non-devotee on the level of Brahman realization, they in same position, or it's just technical general definition Brahma Bhuta?
It's just a general definition. Because the point is the one is situated in the spiritual world and the other is situated still within the as I mentioned in Brahma Loka.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Is that Maharaj?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, Maharaj. So in all these different steps, you know, it seems that it is gradual, normal, you know, when Vanashandharma, like, it seems like that.
It's step by step, step by. That's why Prabhupada's. And recommending, and all the acharyas are recommending that we practice the varnashram, situate ourselves nicely in our duties, perform them to please Krishna, because then our conditioned nature is being engaged in Krishna's service, so we're getting purified. It's not the ultimate goal, but it's a natural situation to be in. Then, you know, there's giving the results of your work. Then there is giving up that position within and taking up, you know, the renounced aspect or the sannyas, because Krishna is mentioning when you're doing the work for Krishna, that's sannyas. So like the devotees that live in the temple, you know, at least, you know, before the devotees that lived in the temple, they were on that sannyas platform because everything they did was for Krishna, for the temple. There was no gain for themselves at all. Yes. You know, I mean, you know, every night you slept in a different spot. You know, you might have your favorite spot, but if it's a good spot, there's some other brahmachari is more clever and gets there 2 seconds before you. And so now it's his spot. So, you know, it's just, so that's that platform of sannyas, like that. But you can still, you know, devotees are doing this and that and so many other things and, you know, grumbling and stuff. So it has to keep moving forward. Then understanding how everything is Brahman and how everything's situated there, then that would be a higher step. Like it says that the self-realized sage sees the elephant, you know, trainer, the dog eater, you know, all these guys to be all the same. Is that they're not the external body is the same, that you can tell the difference, but the soul is all the same. So everyone is actually situated in Krishna. It's just according to their particular way they're interacting with Krishna, that's the particular bodies and situations they have. So that's higher than that.
Yes.
You know? So it's higher than that, but it doesn't mean that that's still the goal. So it keeps going. You know, so therefore, if one's going to go from the temples out into the community, then are they just doing everything as the local ISKCON authorities are telling them to do and things like that, and all the results of everything is theirs? And that, or is it their house, their money, their family, their work, their vacation, their time, their event, and just, you know, come back 3 days later? Their TV, their remote, their shoes, their that come back another week later, you know, their, you know, how you say towel, their coat hanger, that, you know, what are we talking about? So how do you engage that except through the Varnashram process? Because, you know, glory be to God, but, you know, where is the activity going on? Now, of course, that they're chanting 16 rounds following the four Gita principles, you see that's from a higher state. Yes. But you see that that higher state also is that absorption in Krishna is not there. So how do you do? They're absorbed in their work, their family, their community. So that's where Varnashram comes in. How to connect your family or, you know, your occupation, all these things to Krishna. So it's just how you situate yourself. Then what you do with that, that's going to define, you know, the advancement in pure devotion. So the point is to be able to understand the progression through here without rejecting any of these platforms, unless you're already on one of these higher platforms. But there's a good chance that those who are rejecting any of this are not.
Yes, yes.
Because if you were on the higher platform, you'd see how, yes, that's the best way for this devotee to be engaged in all that. And this is his path, how he's going to move forward in Krishna consciousness. But saying, oh, no, we just... you know, Varnashram's rejected, then what do you have? You don't even start on the first, recommendation of Ramananda Rai.
Yes.
Means Lord Chaitanya is rejecting that to go higher. We're rejecting it and staying lower. And then just saying, no, it's just about, you know, Krishna. And all. Then what are you doing for Krishna? Right? Mm. Because those that reject Varnashram, they spend a lot of time talking about rejecting Varnashram. It's not that, you know, I don't do that, I can't relate to it, I don't understand it. I'm a, you know, from a Malecha Yavana background, so what do I know about these things? So whatever I kind of glean from Prabhupada's books and these devotees, I try to engage myself. Okay, nice. Honest. But to have a philosophy about rejecting Varnashram, then we have a problem. So these are stages that the devotee might go through, but you have to understand that there's more. Unless you see that top step, you'll stop at the step you're on, turn around and, you know, throw your hands up in the air and, yeah, check me out. I'm on the third step. Hari Bol, yeah, like this, you know. But, yeah, not going to work. Does that make sense?
Yes. So it's my, it seems that when we don't follow the step by step, the mind is difficult to be peaceful, satisfied.
Yes, because you don't know what you're doing and where you're going.
It's like
I don't want to do all that, and I don't want to, and what's the reason not to follow Varnashram? I mean, what is the reason not to follow it?
I want to be independent.
Why not? Yeah, that's it. I want to do whatever I want to do, and I don't want anybody telling me what do I want to do, because, you know, how you say, it's, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's my God-given right,
yes.
You know? And not only that, I get freedom of speech, freedom of religion means I can do whatever I want. You know, it's, hey, you know, you can't take away these, you know, how you say, God-given rights.
Mm.
And so, yeah, we're not saying give, we're just saying move forward, engage them, and be engaged in Krishna's service. But, you know, what is the thing? You're not involved, why not? Oh, it's external. Oh, and this whole thing about, oh, what about, you know, women's rights? That's not external. That's not a body. We're not dealing with the body there. You know, we're just dealing with the soul, you know,
yeah.
Like that. I don't understand it. You know, then why are you making it? Then why not just say all living entities should be given the opportunity for this? Why it's women? You know, what about the guys that are like short or something, or too fat, or not very smart, or, you know, what about the children, you know, why they're not spirit souls, you know? What about your pet hamster, you know, he's not a spirit soul, or she's not a spirit soul, or it's not a spirit soul, or maybe it's a transgender, you know, hamster, you know, like that. Are they not spirit souls?
Yes.
So that's the whole thing, is that there is no answer. There is no philosophy. There is no, there's just a philosophy that I don't do it. But there is no, what should you do in all this? So it's just taken, oh no, we don't talk about that because everybody, you know, follows their own path. Everybody does like this. It's like the modern thing, like a Western society. You don't talk about death. You know, you don't talk about what's after, you know, what's it all for? Why are you doing this? You just don't do it. It's against the etiquette. Everyone's an illusion. Everyone's in their own special, you know, little niche of illusion, and they don't bother each other illusion, and you respect the other's illusion because maybe their illusion is better than you, or if not, you know, they're unfortunate because yours is a better illusion or whatever. The whole point is it's not being coming to this point of appreciating that, you know, pure devotional service to Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, following the footsteps of the previous acharyas headed by Rupa Goswami, that's what we're trying to get. So the point is why wouldn't we be following that?
Mm.
You know, if it's just, yeah, see, we're spiritual, we can do whatever we want. Who's we? Because someone else does what they want, and then he's in trouble. And you do what you want, and somehow or another, that's glorious. Please explain. So it's not thought about. It's just how you situate the body. It's just like, is there a philosophy about whether we should take a bath or not? You know? Is there, you know, so all these things. There's philosophy of whether we should eat or not. You know, or sleep or this or that. No. It's just part of what you do as a devotee. So therefore, Varanasya is just part of what you do. And yes, you can come to this point of giving it up. But then that means it's then sannyas. It means it's all just for Krishna. So you have to see as whatever you're doing, you're engaged basically in the direct activities of devotional service, and that's all you're doing.
Yes.
You're hearing, you're chanting, you're worshiping the deity, you're associating with devotees, you know, you're living in a transcendental place, and that's all you do. That is your occupation. Then if you're doing that, great, nice. But I don't think that position is what we're calling community.
No.
Right? No, so therefore then we have to be a little bit more thoughtful and appreciate that yes, all these things are stages we naturally go through. Some will be on longer, some will be quick, some will go through. They may be happening simultaneously, many of them, you know, like that. So the whole idea is that we have to be aware of what's going to be the highest position we're getting to. Is that okay?
Yes, no, yes. Thank you.
Yes, okay. Did we read 2866?
No.
Okay, we just finished the top, right?
Yes.
After hearing this, the Lord, as usual, rejected it, considering it to be external devotional service, right? He's calling devotional service external. What's the definition of external? External means your situation is still within the Mahatattva. That's external devotional service. So if anybody's not, they're on the Uttama platform, they're, you know, in the Lord's pastimes through meditation, then they can say, yeah, we reject all that. But if we're on this side of Viraja, then, you know, it's these are just what you do. But your goal is that side of Viraja. Right? That's the point of Upanishads. There's this and there's that. So we're trying to attain that by engaging ourselves, you know, engaging this in the service of that. That makes sense. He again asked Ramananda Rai to speak further. And Ramananda Rai replied, pure devotional service without any touch of speculative knowledge is the essence of perfection. Udriti, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 28. Lord Chaitanya also rejected this proposal because simply by renouncing material results in Brahman realization, one does not realize the spiritual world and spiritual activities. Although there is no material contamination, when one attains the stage of Brahman realization, in that stage one is still not perfectly pure because there's no positive engagement in spiritual activity. Because it is still on the mental plane, it is external. The pure living entity is not liberated unless he is completely engaged in spiritual activity. As long as one is absorbed in impersonal thoughts or in thoughts of the void, one's entrance into an eternal blissful life of knowledge is not complete. When spiritual knowledge is not complete, one will be hindered in his attempt to cleanse the mind of all material variegatedness. Thus, impersonalists are frustrated in their attempts to make the mind void by artificial meditation. It is very difficult to void the mind of all material conceptions. In the Bhagavad Gita 12.5, it is stated that those who indulge in such impersonal meditation find it very difficult to make spiritual advancement. In addition, whatever state they do obtain is not complete liberation. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya rejected it. Now notice here, there's a key word here. It's a pure devotional service without any touch of speculative knowledge is the essence of perfection. Because the point is perfection means liberated. Right? So one is doing devotional service, but on that liberated platform. But that is as far as you're situating yourself. You're not going beyond that. So it's still not enough. Right? So we can see is Srila Prabhupada, when he's introducing Krishna consciousness, he's immediately introducing Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, pure devotional service to him, chanting the holy name, we're not the soul, we're the, not the body, we're the soul. Right? And the chanting process, the pastimes of the Lord, you know, and all the technical philosophy explains how we're not the body, how Krishna is the supreme, how chanting is the ultimate. So we already have the understanding of what is the ultimate, and then we're practicing and moving up through these stages. But as long as you keep that ultimate in mind, you'll naturally keep progressing. But otherwise, if at some point you don't focus on that, then you'll very nicely situate yourself wherever you are and get very nicely purified. But you still need to reawaken that focus by association so that you will continue to nicely move forward. Otherwise, then the tendency is that you'll think that's good enough. And so then one will continue from there. If you remember Krishna at the time of death, then great, you'll go back to Godhead. But if you don't, then that from that platform, you'll be have an appearance in the world that will best situate you for that kind of realization. Does that make sense? You know? And then one can continue on from there. Udriti, Sri Ramananda Samvad. The Brahma-Bhuta state of consciousness is also not a fully transcendental state of spiritual existence. So Brahma-Bhuta means you're situated on that spiritual platform, but it's not really complete because that's Sat. Then there's Chit, which means then activities, and Ananda, that interaction in relationship with the Lord. But so it itself is not fully. That's why Madhvacharya makes the point is real liberation is being established in an eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. That's actual liberation. Otherwise, yes, you are liberated. It's called liberated. But, you know, is it actually? You know, that's the point. You know, it's just like, let's say you're in prison and they let you out of prison, right? So you get out of prison, you go through all those gates and everything until you're finally outside the prison wall. But where are you? You're right on the street, and it's generally in the middle of nowhere, right? They generally don't have the prisons like downtown or something like that. That's a different kind of prison. They don't tell you that's a prison, but whatever. We're just talking about the regular standard stuff. And so now are you in society? No, but you're outside within the environment, but you're not actually situated in society. So you're still not actually free. It's then when you go back, you know, whatever, to your place and this, and then start work, start interacting with people, then you can say, now you are. Right? So Brahma-Bhuta, therefore, we can see, it's because we generally put Brahma-Bhuta as a high platform. But you can see here is Lord Chaitanya, because he's trying to get to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Braj. Therefore, it's still it's like being, I'm on the floor. Okay, whoopee. You know, someone's floating, I'm standing on the floor and like that. Aren't I advanced? Other people aren't even on the floor. You know, they're below the floor. They're not in the basement, you know, things, but they're not involved in relationships and like that. So the Brahma-Bhuta state of consciousness is also not a fully transcendental state of spiritual existence. The supramental consciousness, as exists in the spiritual kingdom of Vaikuntha, is a further development, right? Because that's why I said they're on the mental plane. They're not on the supramental plane, which is in the spiritual world, right? The Brahma-Bhuta state of consciousness is undoubtedly free from gross material consciousness, and although touching the absolute truth indicates a transcendental feeling, it is not the actual transcendental position for realizing the activities of Vaikuntha. As such, it is also external. So you can see as we have a, you know, fairly high standard of what's internal and what's external. But it's open to everybody, and this is what's been given. Right? Lord Chaitanya wants the living entity to be free from every type of material consciousness, including becoming unconcerned with empiric knowledge and fruitive activities. One should stay in pure consciousness, as even a slight tinge of material consciousness causes an impersonal conception of the absolute truth. Because if it's external consciousness, means you're focused on the material energy. The material energy is a transformed energy of himself, you know, situated on the platform of Brahman, which therefore makes it impersonal. So any mundane consciousness is impersonal, because it's not dealing with the person. The absolute, the supreme personality of Godhead. It's dealing with the transformations of this energy that are being supported by Brahman. You know, which just means generic knowledge. In all these different stages of material consciousness, only imaginary arguments predominate over the absolute personality of Godhead. Imaginary argumentative endeavors are detrimental to the pure devotional service of Godhead. And as such, even the liberated state, as above mentioned, is external. This liberated state is something like the convalescent stage after relief from a disease. Right? You don't have the disease, but you're not engaged in practical work. So this is a better example, right? Because when you have the disease, you have the disease. When you get over the disease, you're disease-free, but you're convalescing, so you're not fully engaged in regular activities yet. So that's what it means. It's not fully on that platform. It's not yes, you want to be free from disease, but the idea of being free from disease is to be engaged in proper activities. If a convalescent person is not properly taken care of, a relapse of the disease may mar the whole attempt at recovery. Right? So they need to have that association with pure devotees to move forward. So just because it has you come to that platform, you still need the association of devotees. In the Brahma-Bhuta liberated stage, one has not yet obtained a resting place at the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. But why here? Brahma-Bhuta liberated stage means you can call Brahma-Bhuta just the liberated stage. It is the same position. Generally, devotees use the term Brahma-Bhuta because they're moving forward to taking shelter of Krishna. While the impersonalist, the liberated stage is their goal. They just stop there. So they're in that convalescing stage, but they will get the disease again and come back to the mature world. So the devotee, it's a place where he's going towards the lotus feet of the Lord, because if you are situated, you know, there in the spiritual platform, right, spiritual form and all that, but, you know, like you will have in the, you know, Shravana Varna and Smarana Dasa. But the point is until you come to that point of samadhi, then you're not up to the point to have a dynamic relationship with Krishna. It means whatever platform you are and whenever you do interact with Krishna, Krishna will reciprocate. So that's always there in devotional service. You go to the temple, you see the deities, you offer your heartfelt prayers and all that, and Krishna reciprocates that because at that moment you are nicely engaged in service. But then the next moment, then one's not. One's out wondering, you know, who moved your shoes? You know, and stuff like that, or, you know, so many things. And so then that becomes the point. So that samadhi in Smarana Dasa means then you're fully absorbed in the Lord. So now, because the Lord can be fully absorbed in you, how you'll have community unless you are as absorbed in him as he is in you? Otherwise, how do you have a relationship? Right? If you have a relationship where you're into it and the other person is sometimes and sometimes not, then you'll think this is not proper, right? Because, you know, we're thinking about ourselves, so the relationship may not continue nicely. But for Krishna, then he's patient. And so he's just waiting until and you come to the point where you can. So then is apandas. Then you engage in the activities. Dao that sarup siddhi. Is now, it's siddhi means it's perfect, but it still hasn't come to the point of prema. But you're associating with the eternal associates, and you're seeing, you're involved in the pastimes, and you see how they deal in their path of prema, right? So they're on ragatmika. So then, that way, then we follow in their footsteps to come to that platform of rag, that natural spontaneous love they have, right? And so then with time, when one qualifies, then that brings you to the point of sampati, where then it vastu siddhi. So then now that becomes, yes, now you've perfected your spiritual form in the way of that is your position, rather than it's perfect because it's connected to Krishna now nicely. But no, it means it has that eternal connection. What? Does that make sense? You know, and so we're just getting it to that point of prema. Lord Chaitanya is going to take the conversation and keep going. So it's just a matter we're trying to make a context of what's going on here, that we know all these things, but it's just they're going through the stage by stage. And we have to be very careful. The only reason we're saying this so much is that these positions are used to reject all these platforms. And what are they replaced with? Nothing. So they're taking something that is considered external, right? And, you know, so it's still not the positive. Then they're rejecting it. Now they don't have anything. And then somehow or another, that's glorious. Because the idea, that's the impersonalism, right? is you reject everything, and somehow or another you're considering you're moving forward. So by rejecting Varnashram and all these other elements of sadhana bhakti, then because I've rejected them, that must make me more intelligent and I'm moving forward. But Lord Chaitanya is trying to get us past that into the positive. Yes?
But Maharaj, it seems that, generally we speak about the importance of association of devotee, but in that topic, we need association with a mature devotee.
Yes, but the point is it's also, someone might have, means you have that, yes, so you always seek out that more mature association. And two is that you seek out mature association in the area where you are performing the service. So someone might be very mature in one aspect, but in another not be. You know, it's just like, let's say you associate with a devotee on Sankirtan, but let's say you don't associate with them in the morning after Mangal Arati when they read out the Sankirtan scores.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it may be on Sankirtan, he's really committed and doing that and doing the things nicely. And so that's why he's so good at it. And that's why his name will be read out in the morning. But when it's read out in the morning, he may have some pride.
Yes.
So we won't sit with him. We'll be sitting with someone else who appreciates, you know, the Mangal Arati and the morning program. So like that, you different activities you do with different people. You know, you chant with some one person, you have kirtan with another, you take prasad with someone else. It means you can do any of these activities with any devotee, but you may prefer to do with certain people because they're inspiring.
There is a need of discrimination among
devotees. Yes. You have to use your intelligence and discriminate. Mm-hmm. Despite people trying to make the word discrimination a bad word. And when you say that, then that means there's no discrimination. So on what platform is it all equal?
Mm.
Spiritual? No, material. Because they're talking about the bodies being equal. They're not talking about the souls being equal. Not on any day of the week.
Yes.
Right? Now, if someone is looking at, like we said, women from the point of just, you know, the body, and so they're women, and so they can only do this and that, and, you know, how you say, what was that? Just the other day we were going through that. Vaishya Shudras, Istriya Vaishya Shudras, you know, Dwijabandhu, Cha, all these like that, you know, that's just the main ones. And then, you know, Cha, anything else you can throw into that, you know. And so therefore they can't be advanced, can't be this, that. Of course, then that you can then speak on, that, you know, no, you have to look at some women like this. But you're based on the point is it's the soul. They're looking at the body. But the solution to that is not then to take the other side where it's about the body. This body is better than that body.
Yes.
Does that make sense? You know, before you had Superman, Superwoman.
Yes.
You know? But now you just have super person. Right? And it's always a woman, of course. You know what I'm saying? So the point is you have to be very, very careful in seeing these things. Because if you want to do that, then what about, you know, all the temple presidents and everybody else being under the thumb of the, you know, the higher authorities and this and that? It cuts both ways, this kind of stuff. You know, and then if the woman's the temple president and she deals with people who are not happy, Can they say these things about the authority? Or as soon as you do, they say, oh, they're against women. So then it's just purely political. It has nothing to do with spiritual life.
Yes, yes.
You know what I'm saying? So what I'm just pointing out is just one has to be very, very careful is that you have to be able to discriminate in the proper meaning of the word, is that means use of intelligence, because intelligence can tell the difference between two things and what's common between two things.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it does. Just like the mind accepts and rejects. That's its mechanics. So mm-hmm. then one can appreciate what goes on and see what is spiritual and what's not. So Lord Chaitanya is pointing out is yes, it may be getting spiritual, but it's not fully spiritual. It's only partially spiritual. So like as Prabhupada says, the Brahma Buddha state of consciousness is also not a fully transcendental state of spiritual existence, because it's only dealing with sat. Chit and Ananda are not fully engaged. There's a touch of sat, chit. Yes. But it's not the full understanding of the Lord and the devotees, his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Yes. And it's definitely not the Ananda being engaged in that platform and tasting rasa. Yes. Like that. So that's the whole point. It's not, he's bringing it up through like that. Yes? No?
Yes. Yes, yes. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. In the Brahma Bhuta liberated stage, one has not yet obtained a resting place at the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. As such, one is still unsupported and thus runs the chance of falling down again into material activities. It is therefore also external, and thus the fourth suggestion of Ramananda was rejected by Lord Chaitanya. Even though these are stages that we will think are bona fide, because he's quoting from Bhagavad Gita, we're following that. We use those to be inspired to move forward in bhakti. But it means we're situating ourselves better and better in trying to appreciate pure love for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. In his Anubhasya commentary, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that this stage, devotional service mixed with speculative knowledge, is also external and not within the jurisdiction of pure devotional service as practiced in Vaikuntha. As soon as that, so here's the pure devotional service, as had been mentioned there, means it's pure, means there's no karma and jnana being performed, but it's not pure devotional service is practiced in Vaikuntha, because that still has the chit and ananda part. So it's sat, chit, and ananda in pure devotional service. Well, this is sat in pure devotional service with a touch of, you know, does that make sense? Yeah. As soon as there is some conception of materialistic thought, be it positive or negative, the service is not spiritual. It may be free from material contamination, but because there is mental speculation, the devotional service is not pure and freed from the contamination of material life. A living entity who wants to be completely pure must be above this material conception. The negation of material existence does not necessarily mean spiritual existence. Right? You just get rid of this, you can end up with nothing, like the Buddhists. After material existence is negated, spiritual existence, namely Sat Chit Ananda, still may not be manifested. Right? Until one comes to the stage of factually understanding one's eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, one cannot enter into spiritual life. Right? So that means it's there. So even you've gone back to Godhead, right, by remembering, but if you're a neophyte and you remembered Krishna by Krishna's grace, you go there, but you're still not having entered into spiritual life, even though you're in the spiritual platform, spiritual body, and all that, spiritual situation, but you still have to cultivate that eternal relationship with Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? That's so entering into spiritual life means prema. That's permanent. Spiritual life means becoming detached from material life and engaging in the loving service of the Lord. So that detachment, we go through these stages. But the most important is engaged in the loving service of the Lord. So that's the point, is devotees are cultivating them both at once, always remembering Krishna and also how not to forget. So when something distracts us more, we'll focus on that to get us to reduce that. But at the same time, you have to cultivate how to move forward more towards Krishna. Does that make sense? Just giving up the negative is not enough. There has to be that positive. So the two are going on. So that's for the devotees, because of the wonderfulness of Lord Chaitanya and his associates, we're exposed to so much of this positive thing, though it doesn't necessarily generate within our hearts the same enthusiasm that it does for the, you know, the great pure devotees. But the point is it's inspiring enough that we're here, right? And then in itself, just by being absorbed, one gets purified so much of other things, but one still has to take advantage and act in the culture of someone on that platform. Right? And, you know, there's the proper etiquette and everything that you do and the proper engagement. But those are the ways of engaging the negative, right? Getting rid of negative that doesn't work and accepting that which does work for Krishna. But the main point is it's being absorbed in Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So Maharaj, can we say that this is one point that we feel determined, enthusiastic to really develop a service for Krishna?
Yes, yes.
So before that, it's up and down, you know.
Yes.
We can follow authority, but at one moment there is a need to have the taste of serving, and then to decide to try to advance always under guidance.
Yes, yes. So that's why you have those three teachers, that Jiva Doya. So we're finding some way to preach and help others, but at the same time we're associated with Vaishnavas. And in that way, then being inspired to move forward in Krishna consciousness. And the point is by that, then we get a taste. So that's why one is trying, you know, best as one can to come to the Madhyama platform. Because on that platform, you're steady. And if there's steadiness, that's your best chance to get a taste, a regular taste. If in the unsteady, it doesn't mean that tastes aren't there. There's a nice kirtan, there's a nice discussion, you know, a nice darshan or something, a nice festival. We get a taste, but then it'll be intermittent. You know, it's like in meditation, it has those five stages. So the first stage means it's occasional.
Yes.
You know, and then the next stage will be a little bit more regular. And then it's kind of becoming a little steady, but not so much. Then it becomes more focused. Then it's fully absorbed in samadhi. Right? So the point is it's there. That's why we're going on in Krishna consciousness, because the taste is greater than anything we've come across before. But we have to be, we know that there is more. That's why we associate and we hear about, you know, what's going on in these pastimes, so that we're inspired that, yes, even though here, not of this point is so nice, further points are even nicer. So we just keep going, because it's what Lord Chaitanya wants. He wants everybody to be engaged. And so then you become steady. So that means it's regularly more appreciated. And then it comes to the point where you're going to start to become, get a taste. Once that taste is there, then naturally, then the attachment, then bhava, like this.
Yes.
It just naturally moves forward. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yes. 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 Thank you.
After material existence is negated, spiritual existence, namely Satchidananda, still may not be manifest. Like Prabhupada said, you're not in the sick condition anymore, but you're in the convalescent stage. But it hasn't become positive, because the Satchidananda may not be manifested. Until one comes to the stage of actually understanding one's eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, he cannot enter into spiritual life. Spiritual life means becoming detached from material life and engaging in the loving service of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore asked Ramananda Rai to explain something transcendental to devotional service mixed with speculative knowledge. Right? Because we see in the beginning of Gita, you have karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, all these things are there that will be used, but you're still trying. Then after that, then he gives the chapters of showing how to bring it forward in pure devotion. Right? So he's showing how Krishna is everything, how the universal form, how the different qualities, how the different vibhutis, all these different things are all connected with him. Right? But then he brings it up to that just pure devotional service to him. Right? A pure devotee is completely surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord, and only by his love does he conquer Krishna, who cannot be conquered by anyone. So it's not by our external form, you know, the particular aspect of Varnashram, or the particular aspect not in Varnashram, you know, or our management, or, you know, whatever it is, none of these things. It's the devotion in which you do it, the love. That's what conquers Krishna. Krishna always stands victorious over everything. No one can conquer him. One can attain the stage of pure devotion simply by fully surrendering. This is next corroborated by Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.3, when Lord Brahma, defeated by the potency of Lord Krishna, fully surrendered to the Lord. Right? So this is going to be the next stage. 2.8.67.68. Ramananda Rai continued, Lord Brahma said, My dear Lord, those devotees who have thrown away the impersonal conception of the absolute truth and have therefore abandoned discussing inferior philosophical truth should hear from self-realized devotees about your holy name, form, pastimes, and qualities. They should completely follow the principles of devotional service and remain free from illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and animal slaughter. Surrendering themselves fully with body, words, and mind, they live in any ashram or social status. Indeed, you are conquered by such persons, although you are always unconquerable. At this point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is all right, but still you can speak more on the subject. So now he didn't say it's external. He said, this is all right, but can you go further? So we see is this platform that's just been discussed here, this is the natural platform that we recommend for every member of ISKCON. Right? This is where Prabhupada started, you know, it's the basis. But these other things are there. So he starts here, and if you can't keep yourself here, those previous stages are used. You know, and even in this stage, then you know they'll be engaged in any ashram or social status. Ashram is Brahmacharya Grihastha Vanaprastha Nyas, social status is Brahmacharya Vaishya Shudra. You know, so they can, so you'll be using it, but that's not your focus. And so those other things are already accomplished because now you're doing it to please Krishna. You've given up all karma and jnana. Giving up karma and jnana doesn't mean you can't use Varnashram. But before, they're using karma yoga, jnana yoga, all these different things like that. And they'll be absorbed in those and attached to those things. So therefore, then there's a slight problem. It's not complete. Connected to the Lord, but it's not complete. Right. Udriti, Sri Ramananda.
In that level, the devotee is above Brahma Bhuta and is engaging in service of the Lord.
It's not above Brahma Bhuta, it means you're situated on that platform, but now the other aspects are, it's going to be a nice platform to move from. You're not on Brahma Bhuta simply just by the intellectual understanding of the philosophy and analyzation. You're there because of that surrender to Krishna.
Yes, there is activity.
So Brahma Bhuta means Mother Jashoda is on the platform of Brahma Bhuta, but just that's what she walks on.
Yes.
You know, and then on top of that is everything else. So Satchidananda includes Brahma Bhuta. So that's the whole faith, is that devotional service includes everything else. Mm-hmm. Like that, because it's the original. So Mother Yashoda, she's doing her duties in Varnashram, but it's not about that. It's about pleasing Krishna. She's liberated, but it's not about that. It's about pleasing Krishna. Right? So yes. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Maharaj?
Yes, please.
Maharaj, on the point that you just made, that Mother Yashoda is doing her duty in Varnashram, although this is not the point. I just read the Bhagavatamrita. In one point, Narada Muni tells Uddhava, he tells him, even here in Vaikuntha, you still think as a Kshatriya. And Uddhava replies, yes, but Krishna also, he's also thinking in the same way. So it seems that these things are still there, although they're not the essence.
Yes. No, they're not the essence. They're thinking that way, and Krishna's thinking like that because he's reciprocating with them. Because in other words, there's more, it means here, who are we talking with who here, right? You know, just to bring this point, you know, to bring out this point. We're speaking, Lord Chaitanya is here, right? He's speaking to Ramananda Rai, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned before, as Vishakha, right? So she's the, you know, would be the, how you say, you know, the right hand or the right or left, or, you know, it's like that. She stands on one side of Radharani and Lalita's on the other. So in that way, then you have that complete manifestation of the energies, right? So The point is that he's there. He's the complete personality of Godhead. So what pleases him the most is Braja Bhakti. Within that is the gopis. Within that, the followers of Radharani. Within that, Radharani. That's why he's come as Lord Chaitanya, to taste that root of Radharani. So that's on his mind. So why wouldn't he? He'll naturally talk about it with someone who's qualified to talk about it with. Because others are not qualified to talk this. You know, sir, you're thinking like a Kshatriya, and his answer is, well, Krishna's also thinking like that. Yes, because there's so much devotion is there. There's so much affection, but it still has this. But in that Braja Bhakti between Radha and Krishna, you don't have any of that. It's just pure, unalloyed, 100%, just prema. Right? So that's what he's trying to get to. So all these others, they have some aspect to it that's not quite on that level. And so, yes, it doesn't mean that she doesn't dress as a girl and do girl stuff. But the point is it's not about that. These are just ways to express that pure love. Right? So that's the aspect. Yeah? No, that's nice. Yeah. Okay, so we have to see where we're getting to. Krishna wants to, he's so impressed by this ultimate platform of love, because he's only conquered by love. And so of love, then that ultimate platform, it conquers. So because there is love in Vaikuntha, then he stays there. But he stays there as Vaikunthapati. He doesn't stay there as Braja Krishna. And in Dwarka, he stays there as Dwarkadish, because of the love is even greater there than Dwarka. But he's still not there as Braja Krishna. Right? And then he's in Braja, and then he's going to be there because of the intensity of love is so perfect there, you know, so wonderful there. But at the same time, is there is that statement where Prabhupada's pointing out that when Krishna is, you know, his attractive feature is its greatest when his internal potency expands. So I don't know if you've ever seen in Vrindavan, you take darshan of Krishna Balaram and Krishna looks good. But if you move one altar over, it looks completely different. Right? In Vrindavan. You know, like that. But you see with Balaram, is only manifesting as to a certain degree, but with Radharani and her associates, then the level that is so much greater. It's just the intensity is more. So in other words, the Braj in general is the place in which Radha Krishna's pastimes can take place. They won't take place in Dwarka. Right? They're going to take place in Braj. So therefore, and all these things are there because then you have reasons for doing things and stuff like that, because it's pastime. So you need a reason to do something because you don't have to. So you have to have some excuse. Oh, he has to take out the cows. Oh, so that gets him out of the house. And the gopis, oh, they have to go out and worship Surya. Right? So they're going to go out and pick flowers for the puja. Right? But there's flowers also, they can make a garland for Krishna. Right? And then he gets away and they've gone out now. And so now they can meet. So there's, you know, that's much more fun than just Radha and Krishna, everybody just sitting around and because they're all transcendental and all that, and there's nothing to do and just, you know, they kind of look at each other and, you know, like that, you know. So there's pastime. So that happiness that Krishna feels in that position, that's so great that is the ultimate. Because he's asking, what's the ultimate? And who is he asking? Ramananda Rai. If he was asking someone from Vaikuntha, then these earlier answers then would have been enough. You know, once you get to this point here, pure devotion or something, then we would have stopped. But we're going through Braja Bhakti. So he's trying to bring out that is what we're trying to get to. He's trying to taste that in the association of Ramananda Rai, because here's someone you can talk those things with. Up to now, then, it hasn't been. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he's just giving up the impersonal platform and accepting the pure devotional service. You know, when we see, once he's talked to Lord Chaitanya, he comes to that like immediately on the spot, once he's convinced. You know, like that. But then these things, and then he says, you should talk with this devotee. Because he knows the mind of Lord Chaitanya knows that this is where he'll get that satisfaction. So we're trying to get to this point, and then knowing this point, then we're inspired, you know, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, to try to come to that platform of Braja Bhakti. Otherwise, we sit around arguing over whether we follow Varnashram or not. And that's the first point that he made, that he said is external. And there's another three above that he said is external. And we're not even accepting the first one. You know, saying, oh, no, it's just about Radha and Krishna, but how are you going to express it? How? You know, we're not going to accept the Varnashram, but we're going to sit in a meeting 6 hours a day using parliamentary procedure. And somehow or another, that's pure devotion, but Varnashram is not. You know, for people who know Varnashram, they know how that's part of Varnashram. Otherwise, why are they in there? Let everybody in. You know, cows are very dear to Krishna. Go Brahmana Hitaya Chai. He mentions cows first. So there should be more cows at the meeting. You know, or at least if you can't get the cows, you know, in the words of, you know, one great Acharya, we need more cowbell. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that we have to appreciate what Lord Chaitanya is giving us and what he's showing us, instead of sitting and quibbling about all these foolish stuff that the karmis, that's all they do. Why don't we move on? It's just something you do. Figure out how to use it in Krishna's service, how to maintain pure devotional service and perform your duties. That should be the discussion. Not, oh, it's rejected, or, oh, no, we got to follow it, or that. So it's either Niyamagraha or Niyamagraha, one or the other. You take your choice, whichever you feel like today. Okay. So here, Lord Chaitanya replied, this is all right. Okay, now it's kind of like come to a positive point. But still you can speak more on the subject. So in the positive, we saw in the negative, giving up the negative, it comes to a point where it comes to neutral. And so it was still within the negative, but it's a little bit better, then a little bit better, then it comes to the neutral, but it's still not enough. Then he brings to this point, now it's going to the positive. But he says, but still you can speak more on the subject. So that positive can go much further. Ramananda Roy then replied, ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the essence of all perfection. Udriti, Sri Ramananda Sambhan. This stage of cultivating devotional service directly, right? Because before it was all indirect through the Varnashram, like because Krishna says in the Chatur Shloki that he is everything. Everything you value is him. But at the same time, he is a person, is separate. So that means then, devotional service, you should be cultivating both the indirect and the direct. Right? Because if you're engaged in indirect, you have to see the indirect connected to Krishna. That's Varnashram and all those things. Jnana yoga, all that. But if you're only engaged in direct devotional service, then what's the problem? So therefore, in discussions that, oh, you know, back in the earlier days and in the temples and that wasn't actually very practical event. That was this platform. It was direct. People may not have had the realization that they were naturally on that platform, but they were willing to take part in that platform. So it was direct. So it was better. And then from there, you go out and you try to do that, you know, in other places, wherever you are, as Krishna says, at all times, all places, all circumstances, both directly and indirectly. So whatever you're doing, it's connected to Krishna. So that's you could say the platform that now it's here. Now you can take from there and go on, because that means everything's included in that. So then taking that point and taking it further, then you're going to get all the nice definitions of prema and stuff. Does that make sense?
So Maharaj, is this something like Brahma Bhuta now?
This is beyond the Brahma Bhuta, in that you're seeing the means beyond it means that there's more to it than that. Is that it's about that positive service. Because it says this stage of culturing devotional service directly was accepted by Lord Chaitanya. Right? And so then he's saying, okay, this platform where they've given up karma and jnana, you know, they're just being absorbed in abandoning all these things, you know, and then following the four regulative principles and surrendering everything, body, mind, and words, you know, in any status of life, any situation, then they are absorbed in devotional service. He says, that's good, but can you go more? And then he says, ecstatic love, right? Because that was just, would be love, but that's ecstatic love. So that ecstatic love, that's what you're going to see in Vrindavan. Does that make sense? So all these things are overlapping each other. It's not that you have one stage goes to the next, because we can be situated here but not be so good. It's just like, let's say you're doing on the job training. You know, there's a position open, you go, you apply, you get the position, then you go to the office, and then you spend 2-3 weeks, someone takes you around and shows you what to do and everything like that. So you have the inclination or the ability to do those things, but you don't really know how to do them. Does that make sense? So you're in the same place as people who are situated there, but it doesn't mean that you're on their level. So in the same way as we may be, Prabhupada may have given us this as an opening place, because this is the first point that Lord Chaitanya is basically accepting. And so that's what Prabhupada came to America and gave. And then we saw they can't maintain there. Then he started these next lower ones, he started introducing them. Right? But it didn't mean that Varnashram wasn't already there from the beginning. It just means it didn't have any focus. There was no emphasis on it. But by 75, he was saying we need to actually do this, because devotees were, you know, just sit there and being grumpy and stuff like that. So, you know, then you have your job connected to Krishna. And so does that make sense? So that's how you can be working on this, but not necessarily having the realization here. You know, but by association, then that will come. But this is the best position to do. You know, when everyone's jumping up and down, we don't need temples. We don't need this. We need lower than the first one that Ramananda Roy gave. You know, that's going to make the society fabulous. I don't think so. Even if you're introducing that, but then you have to accept and know what Varnashram is to do it. But you have to be able to discuss from this platform, because otherwise, that's it. Probably went to America to get the Westerners to follow a more scientific Varnashram than they were already following. That's what he went for. I doubt it. You know, so we have to appreciate that. No, this is the beginning now. That's why I said this is all right. You know, it's been accepted, but you can speak more. But from here, we want to go to pure unalloyed devotion. Okay. Yes? Okay. How are we doing on time? Okay. Uddhriti, Sri Ramananda Samvad. This stage of culturing devotional service directly was accepted by Lord Chaitanya. All the previously described stages of the culture of spiritual realization were rejected by Lord Chaitanya, most logically, right? He mentioned the point, they were logically presented, and he gave the logical reason why. The Lord, however, accepted the universal method of hearing the glories of the personality of Godhead in all circumstances from the mouths of self-realized souls and giving up the attempt to become one with God, right? Because these lower stages, we're using them in the context from this platform. So then they support. But others are using those platforms as the method of self-realization. So then they're not always hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in the association of pure devotees. So then it won't be, it'll be much slower. The poison of attempting to become one with God kills the nucleus of devotional service. Anyone actually desiring to be engaged in the transcendental loving service of Godhead must definitely give up this idea for good. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that the idea of being one with Godhead is the topmost type of pretension. And even a slight development of this idea will completely eliminate the prospect for devotional service. Right? How does something so infinitesimal become unlimited? That doesn't make any sense. You know, the drop of water goes into the ocean. Now it's the ocean. No, it's not. It's still a drop of water in the ocean. Sun comes out and there goes the drop into the clouds. Ocean's still there, right? So it never became the ocean. This is the most dangerous misconception in spiritual life, and one should at once give up the idea. So that's why there's so much talking against the impersonal, because karma, we just mentioned this and that, and it's more obvious, but you have to get into technical fighting about this, where there's these impersonal concepts about the Lord. So even in karma, when you get right into it, it's still impersonal. Any of the six schools without Vaishnava Vedanta is impersonal. Udriti, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Okay, this is the most dangerous misconception in spiritual life, and one should at once give up the idea. Udriti, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 28. Although Lord Chaitanya accepted these principles, he still requested Ramananda Rai to further explain advanced devotional service. Right, so that's, he's accepting that as devotional service, then let's move forward to more advanced. Thus, Lord Chaitanya gave Ramananda Rai a chance to discuss gradual advancement from the principles of Varnashram, the four castes and the four orders of spiritual life, through the offering of the results of fruit of activity, and through the speculative discussion of spiritual knowledge. Lord Chaitanya rejected all these because in the field of executing pure devotional service, there's very little use for such principles. Without self-realization, such artificial methods of devotional service cannot be accepted as pure devotional service. Right? So as you said, artificial methods of devotional. So in other words, Varnashram is not devotional service. It's being engaged by the devotee as a platform to be in, how to situate himself so that he can do pure devotional service. Self-realized pure devotional service is completely different from all other kinds of transcendental activity. The highest stage of transcendental activity is always free from all material desires, fruit of efforts and speculative attempts at knowledge, right? So transcendental, they may accept the Lord. They may accept his supremacy and his authority. But there is the highest stage of transcendental is free from all these and just about pleasing Krishna himself as a person, that Bhagavan aspect. Because it's transcendental, you can have the Brahman and Paramatma aspects also. The highest stage of transcendental activity is always free from all material desires, fruit of efforts, and speculative attempts at knowledge. In the highest stage, one concentrates on the simple, favorable execution of pure devotional service. Srila Prabhupada. In his Amrita Prabha Bhashya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur summarizes the conversation up to this point. For Lord Chaitanya says to Ramananda Rai, Eho hai hoi age kaha ar. This is the process accepted in devotional service. But there is something more than this, right? So this last point, that's what's accepted. Therefore, please explain what is beyond. Right? Simply executing the duties of all varnas and ashrams is not as good as offering all the results of one's activities to the Lord. When one gives up all fruit of activity and fully surrenders to the Lord, he attains swadharma tyag. When he abandons the social order and takes the renounced order, that is certainly better. However, better than the renounced order, because you say you're giving up also abandons the social order and takes up sannyas, but it's one of the four. It's a position in which you're taking that up. right? However, better than the renounced order is cultivation of knowledge mixed with devotional service. Because if you're just renounced, then better is that knowledge with devotional service. Yet all these activities are external to the activities of the spiritual world. There's no touch of pure devotional service in them. Pure devotional service cannot be attained by empiric philosophy, nor can perfection be attained simply by good association. Devotional, so you just hang out with the devotees. You should do something also. By hanging out, yes, a jati sukriti is there, but when you actually want to do something, right? That's the thing, is then you've hung out, so then you may develop that faith. Then you start, you know, associating more seriously. But then you have to actually take up bhajana kriya. Yeah, there's no touch of pure devotional service in them. Devotional service by self-realization is a different subject matter. It is untouched by fruit of activity. For one surrenders the results of activities to the Lord, abandons prescribed duties, and accepts the renounced order of life. Such devotional service is situated on a higher platform than that of inferior philosophical speculation, with a mixture of bhakti. This is verified by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. Anyavi lashita sunyam jnana karmadhyanavitam anukulgena krishnanushilanam bhaktirutama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruit of activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Okay, good. So we'll end today here and then continue tomorrow. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.